So a few verses from Amos, and Amos is a prophet during this time speaking to the 10 tribes. Chapter 5, verse 4. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. And verse 21. I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Chapter 4, verse 4. Go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. The book of Amos is full of the Lord trying to tell the Israelites that they knew what was right. They knew where they should be going and what they should be doing. But they set up a substitute that they thought is almost as good. It might not be quite as nice, but surely God will be happy with that. They had set up this place in Bethel and in Gilgal, and it became idolatry. I mean, it was idolatry. It was sin, first of all. And then later on, it developed and grew to the point where they even started worshiping the bronze serpent that Moses had made in the wilderness. And Amos is one of those prophets, I think Hosea is another one, who are condemning the Israelites for abandoning what God has told them to do. And so when you look at those verses in chapter 2 about the Nazarites, that's in the context of the Lord telling them, I had given you the instructions for how you were to live, and you've perverted it. You've perverted the way that I want you to worship me. Verse 10, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you for 40 years in the desert to give you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among your sons and Nazarites from among your young men. Is this not true, people of Israel? Declares the Lord. But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. So, I don't know if... I'm sure this is going to be true for more than just me. When you know to speak the gospel and you set up something else instead, it can be something that's in the assemblies. You can say, oh, I go to Bible studies. I go to the prayer meetings. I go to the ministry meetings. I attend conferences. I even go and visit some of the older brothers and sisters, maybe the widow who's living in a nursing home. I do all of these things, but I refuse to preach the gospel. If there is a truth that we've been shown and we refuse to do it, and that's the principle in Amos, for many of us, that's preaching the gospel. If we refuse to do it, then that's sin, according to James. As an engineer, you know, I deal with numbers a lot, and we deal with factors. Factors is a number from 0 to 1 that multiplies another number, and it scales it down. So, you know, if you have an object that reflects light, the reflectivity of the object will multiply the light coming in, and so then you'll get the light coming out. 0 is no light gets reflected. 1 is all the light is reflected back. 0.5 is half the light is reflected. A professor of mine who leads a Bible study at school gave us the godliness factor. And it's a simple way to remember some of the lessons here. Godliness is the number of truths that you know in the divisor, the number of truths you practice is in the numerator, and the denominator is the number of truths that you know. So the number of truths you practice divided by the number of truths you know means that someone who is just saved, who might only know one or two truths about Scripture and about God, but lives those out, is more godly than someone who knows a million truths and lives out maybe 200 or even, you know, 90,000. We, especially in the assemblies, we have been blessed with so much truth about Scripture, and we have so many conferences that talk about truths like Nazariteship and how to live our lives. Truths about baptism, what it really means, you know, that it doesn't save you, that it's a symbol. Truths about breaking of bread and that it's a memorial. And even truths about preaching the gospel. But if we refuse to preach the gospel because we're afraid, then we're sinning. But I don't want to leave it on that note, which is why I love the verse from Psalm 23. So I'm going to end with that. Because again, usually what stops us from preaching the gospel is a mix of rebellion, which we've already talked about at this conference, and fear. We know that the cure for rebellion is just submission and obedience to God's will. But there's that fear, because preaching the gospel is the scariest thing that you can ever do as a Christian. Because it's the place where you're in the most direct contact with, or conflict with, evil. It's the place where your own testimony is going to be put in the harshest amount of questioning. It's the place where everyone's going to see, you know, all your faults could be on display, and people are going to be trying to see, you're trying to show people Christ through you, your witness. And so it's a scary thing to be exposed like that. But if we're told to do it, and that's what I wanted to end on, then Christ has already given us the grace and the resources to do it. And if he was able to preach the gospel of salvation through Paul, who had persecuted Christians, sent them to their deaths, then he can give the gospel through us with whatever flaws we have. And he can overcome our fear. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So hopefully that's an encouragement to all of us.
Amen.